So how much snow do you have up there?
Oh my gosh. I can't even tell, but I will tell you that the tires of my car are like halfway covered. So I'm like trying to figure out, do I just shovel out? Do I wait for them to plow? Do I just like,
Is it
So
over or is it still going?
no, it's still going, and I think it's supposed to go till like 9 o'clock tonight. And for me, I'm doing okay working from home this morning, but I actually am in a play downtown, so I have to get out of here.
Oh,
So
wow.
I'll have to figure that out later.
And the play is still happening.
I think so. I mean, we actually had it was snowing last night, and we actually had audience last night. So I don't know. I suspect tonight it's going to be a pretty small crowd. So we'll see what
So
happens. Nope.
you're a communications director and you're an actor?
Yeah, that's my fun thing that I do. I went back to it about 3 years ago when my kids were all gone to college and older and on their own and doing their stuff. I had done it many, many years ago, and then I went back to doing it. So I sometimes have a night job.
Well, that's funny. I did it in high school and a little bit in college, and I loved it. And when
Oh,
I
that's so great. I gotta tell you, it's really, it's nice to be able to fulfill that other side of you. So, and it's busy, but it's not, I mean, I work during the day, I go to rehearsals at night, and I love it, and I love being able to get that sort of creative side of me working,
Yeah.
So I encourage you to go back to it if you ever want to do it.
Well, it's funny because when I was applying, I came from print reporting and recently made the transition into radio. And when I was applying for this job, I mentioned, I don't know why I mentioned it, but like my background in theater. And apparently they love people that have that background because it makes them better on air personalities, and it also makes their narration better
Oh,
because
for sure.
there's some
Absolutely, it
skill
does.
involved there. But yeah, that it's I would like to one day. But I guess the problem with being a reporter sometimes is I could totally foresee a situation where you're like at a rehearsal and then you get a call from your editor and they're like, there was a huge explosion down the block. You
Now
need to
you.
go there now.
Right.
Which actually hasn't happened to me yet in my career, but it just Who
It
knows?
could,
Someday it
yeah.
will.
No, it's very true, and it could, and I mean, I there are times where I've had to stay late at work, or so I don't have that kind of situation, because generally, thank God, we don't have huge crises at 9 o'clock at night. But you sort of have to try to figure out how to balance it, and I couldn't go pursue a massive career, but at my age, I'm just happy to be doing it just because it's really fun, versus I have to do it because I need to, make money on it, because that's a whole other thing,
Which is actually why I was like, no, I don't think this is for me. I'm going to choose the very lucrative career of journalism.
Yeah, because you're going to get really rich fast. So, I know. I'm so saddened, I have to tell you. I have so many friends over the years, so many reporter friends, and it's just shocking to me that it's so hard for people to have full-time jobs as reporters now. It's just painful.
Yeah, I
That's
mean
how hard
that's
it is.
why I that I mean that's why I'm doing what we're doing, and this is kind of why Dusty and I are communicating is Dusty and I are part of a new regional journalism collaboration called the Illinois Newsroom, and
Oh.
so my station WILL in Urbana-Champaign and WUIS and like five other stations around the state, plus the Midwest Center for Investigative Reporting, are all involved in this grant-funded new initiative that my exec editor kind of put together. And luckily, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the McCormick Foundation were like, "Okay, yeah, we'll spend money on this."
Oh, that's
So
great.
it's really exciting. So Dusty and I have been probably communicating like more than the average for people that work at different stations because we're both we're the two education reporters in this collaborative.
Right.
And so I think she's actually working on a feature for it right now. And I just completed my first feature for the collaboration this week, actually. So she reached out to me yesterday and she was like, I'm really tight on time. Obviously, this is a statewide issue, so it doesn't really matter who in the state does this story, because
right.
It'll go out, hopefully, to all the stations who want it. But she's tight on time because she's doing her feature for the newsroom, and I can relate because my whole last 2 weeks were taken up by mine. So I was like, yeah, of course I'll do this. This sounds great. So
oh, that's so great. And, you know, that's the thing. It'd be really great to get the word out because, and Dusty and I have talked about this, you know, I mean, be nice to see something that is an alternative to the Illinois Radio Network.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, we're trying our best. My goal is to try and use as much as they're willing to, national NPR to help us get the word out a little bit. They're interested in my feature, but they haven't got back to us yet whether or not they're going to run it in some capacity. So
right.
I'm really hoping they will, because that will help, you know, get Illinois Newsroom out. The problem with regional journalism collaborations is that each station kind of wants to, like, use the content for themselves. So we have a website. I think it's illinoisnewsroom.org.
Uh-huh.
So my story, I think there's a couple stories from Brian Mackey up there, are on it right now, but you know, they also get published on, like, my story got published on the UIS website. You know,
mm-hmm.
everyone kind of wants, that's the issue. Everyone wants the content. And so, like, the website that gets the least attention is our actual RJC website.
Right.
So we're right now we're hiring someone actually to help, you know,
okay.
make our website better and more of
Good.
A destination. But yeah, there's a lot of, and, you know, ProPublica Illinois is kicking ass every
right.
day.
Right. Is BEZ involved in this regional thing or no?
No, BEZ is very much like,
right.
they're very much their own thing.
Right.
I think,
like,
they feel very separate from all of the downstate stations. They even have their own, like, Tony Arnold, they have their own, like, state house person. So
right.
I, you know,
right.
it would be great if they someday
yeah.
wanted to be a part of it. But they're like,
yeah.
they're kind of in their own
I get it.
World, especially in Chicago, which
yeah.
I moved from Chicago to take this job down here. So I get it. Like, it's
right.
very different. The things
right.
that matter to someone that lives in Lakeview versus someone that lives in Urbana are a little bit different.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But that's really good. I didn't really know about that, so I'm really glad to hear it. And so are our media contacts just still, like, the same people we know, like you
yeah,
and
so
Dusty
the,
and,
so
yeah.
the people that are involved, so the people that have been hired so far are me, Dusty's a part of it, Brian Mackey is a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just hired someone in the Quad Cities, a woman named Madeline, I'm blanking on her last name.
Mm-hmm.
That's WVIK, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for someone in Carbondale right now. Madeline's beat is, so we're focusing on three areas. We're focusing on education, politics, and health and environment.
Great.
So, you know, there's two education reporters and there's going to be two health and environment reporters. Madeline is one of them, and we're waiting on the second one from Carbondale. And then we have in our Urbana station, we have an engagement strategist named Kristen Walters, who's
mm-hmm.
great. And her whole thing is kind of getting buy-in from the public and having the public help guide what stories we report on or what issues we're looking into. And she's also doing stuff with schools around civic education. It's this whole thing. And that's kind of the whole idea. And also Brian Mackey is our politics guy.
This is really good to know, because we're going to start a news feed on our website. And so I'm always picking stories for, I haven't done it yet because I lost my assistant and we're rehiring, but we'll have like a daily news feed on our website of education news, of higher ed news.
Oh, great.
So it'll be great. So, because just knowing that, I can sort of go to those stories and highlight them. I mean, we monitor through Meltwater, but I'll sometimes go seek out stories from other places that aren't coming in through our marketing,
yeah,
through
and,
our monitoring.
And all of our, all Illinois Newsroom stories, like, the whole intent is that they're all features, like, they're all kind of deep dives.
I love it.
Because a lot of stations, I mean, a lot of features sort of get lost in stations simply because there's so much daily news reporting that needs to be done, and where everyone is understaffed. So
yeah, sure.
So it is, yeah. It is what it is. But yeah, that's why I, you know, went for this job, because that's the kind of reporting that I love to do, and the fact that I have the full support of my local station and doing it feels pretty unique.
Yeah. So that's so great.
Hopefully, you know, we'll make it a sustainable, worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah.
But that said, I don't want to take up all of your time.
No, not at all. I'm fascinated to learn about it. And I'm really happy to learn about it. So that's great.
Yeah. So maybe tell me a little bit about, I'm actually relatively green on the education beat. I did some school board reporting for the Tribune in Chicago, but that was kind of the extent of it. And mm-hmm. I'm a 3-month-old education reporter.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So yeah, tell me if you could give me a little backstory. It sounds like a really awesome opportunity.
Yeah. So I can tell you just, and you know, I think you might know ISAC. So we're like the state's college access and financial aid agency. So we administer a lot of scholarships and grants on behalf of the state, including obviously the MAP program, which is what I talk about, you know, on a almost daily basis. But some of these other scholarship programs are not, people don't know as well. And one of them is the Minority Teachers of Illinois Scholarship Program. And the purpose of the scholarship is to encourage academically talented minority students to pursue careers as teachers at nonprofit Illinois and nonprofit public and private Illinois preschool, elementary, and secondary schools, and specifically those schools where at least 30% of the enrolled students are minority students. So basically what the program does is it offers scholarships to minority students to teach in schools with at least 30% of minority students. There is a teaching requirement. So like many teaching scholarship programs, MTI is not the only one. They do have a requirement that if you don't teach, it does become a loan. So that's really important for folks to know.
Does this mean you have to be enrolled and also working at a school?
Well, no. You have to be eligible for the scholarship. You have to be enrolled or accepted for enrollment at an Illinois Institute of Higher Education in a course of study that would qualify you to be certified as a preschool, elementary, or secondary school teacher in Illinois. So you can get the scholarship. You can. It's up to 8 semesters or 12 quarters. And you can get $5,000 per academic year for that scholarship. You can also use it, for example, if you're going back to school, to graduate school, or to get an additional certification in teaching to go teach a different subject. You can use it for that as well. The requirement, though, is that upon graduation, you actually have to work for at least a year for every year of assistance you got in a school with a, you know, minimum of 30% of enrolled students or minority students. So that's the requirement.
And so who is this scholarship really geared towards? Is it geared towards minorities who may have trouble paying for the cost of a teaching education otherwise?
Sure. I mean, I think the goal really of the program is to have more of our talented, academically talented minority students going into teacher programs where they might not think about it, but if you have a $5,000 scholarship available to you, it might become more appealing. And also to then have those students go into schools where you have at least 30% minority students so that they also have those role models in those schools. So I think that was in part the purpose of the legislation originally.
And when was this program born out of legislation?
Yeah, it is. It is, and I cannot tell you that I remember exactly when it was actually created, but I can get back to you on that. I don't have the exact date, but I know it has been around for quite some time.
And is it, because I know just covering education and even just the Chicago suburbs, one of the issues that came up a lot was this issue of equity in education and, you know, the so-called achievement gap between minority students and their white peers. Mm-hmm. And one of the solutions that was often thrown out into the room was that, you know, we have a predominantly white teaching force, but we have a very racially diverse student body.
Yeah.
And we need our teaching force to be more diverse. Do you think that this program is part of that solution or helps that situation?
Well, I think that is certainly part of the goal, but I think it's also part and parcel with, you know, how are the schools recruiting students. There are also issues with respect to, you know, students getting into these programs. I believe there's been actually some changes in the testing, the basic skills tests required to get into these programs. So that may also impact what students are getting into these programs as well. There is a grade point average requirement for the scholarship. It's not a grant, it's a scholarship. So there's a, you know, there is a grade point average requirement and, you know, a satisfactory academic progress requirement. And so, you know, all of these things impact whether or not a student will enter an education program and stay in an education program. And I think what this does is at least helps those students who are academically prepared and ready to do it, helps them with the financial aspect. And one of the things that we know for sure is that the biggest reason students drop out of school is financial.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's not a surprise to me at all.
Yeah.
And how competitive is this scholarship program?
Well, actually, if students meet the requirements, the eligibility requirements, they will get a scholarship because we've actually seen somewhat of a decrease in the number of applications that we've had, and actually a significant decrease since FY16, because in FY16, if you recall, with the budget delay, it was not funded. And so we've seen a significant decrease in applications that may, in fact, have come out of that. So if students are eligible for this scholarship, it's likely, you know, that they'll get it because the money is there.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And is it, so it's geared towards, both people seeking an education degree, an undergraduate degree and a master's?
Right. You can, as long as you are enrolled in an education program, you can, and you meet the other requirements, you could be eligible for this scholarship. So, for example, you could be in a bachelor's program, in a bachelor's education program, or you could be going back for your master's, or you could be going for a separate certification. So some kind of certification to teach a different subject or something like that. You could also use it for that.
And, I had a question and I totally blanked on it. Oh, I wanted to ask about, like, the definition of minority in this case. Is it anyone that's just a non-white student?
Yeah, it's actually defined in the statute itself. So, and per the statute, it's African-American, Black, Hispanic, Asian-American, or Native American origin. But it's actually, we have that on our website if somebody actually wants to go look and see that definition.
Okay.
Per statute. Mm-hmm.
Great. And it sounds like you're just concerned about getting the word out because of this decrease in the applications.
Yeah, and we work very hard. You know, we work with the larger education schools. So the larger universities that have education programs all know about us. And they work, I think they work to get their students to apply for this. You know, we send out information through financial aid directors so that they know about the program. Our ISET Corps, I don't know if you're familiar with our ISET Corps, but they're our group of, we have 60 to 100, depending on the year, of recent college graduates who work throughout the state to help students with college access and financial aid. And so they work with students as well to let them know about all of the scholarship programs that are available. We try to get the information out to high school college counselors as well, so they know. So we do work to get this out, but we also recognize that it wasn't funded for a year. And so that was a significant issue. And I think the lack of funding over this budget delay created a lot of concerns and that have not really been fully addressed, even though there's now funding, right? I mean, people who relied on funding, and that could be from the Minority Teacher Scholarship to MAP to anything else, got pretty worried that it might not be there again. And that's, you know, as you see all these stories about out-migration from Illinois, certainly, you know, that two-year budget delay had an impact on students and whether or not they trust that those kind of funds are going to be there for them.
Yeah, that's a good point and something that we've been definitely talking about here at the station and are aware of. And so, but you're here to say that there is funding for the MTI this year.
There is funding. So we still have 2017-18 funding available. And that's why we really wanted to let students know that they can actually apply for this through next Thursday, February 15th, through midnight next Thursday, February 15th. They can still apply for 2017-18 funding. And while they may have already paid tuition for this year and books and for books and other things, they can actually use those funds as reimbursement for what they paid this year. They can also apply. The application is now open for 2018-19 for the MTI scholarship. So they can do that as well. We want to let students know that that's available and there are funds available if they're going to be eligible for the scholarship.
And the 18-19 scholarship, is there a separate deadline for that?
So the priority deadline is March 1st of this year. And when we say priority deadline, we mean that those students, you know, who get it in by then will have priority in getting the funds. If, in fact, we run out of funds. So there is an appropriation. It's possible we would run out of funds, but we have not run out of funds in several years for eligible students. So we would like as many students as possible to apply for this and to be able to use those funds to get them to school and get their teaching degrees.
Great. Well, this sounds like kind of a no-brainer. If you have a good GPA and you're a minority student, looking to enroll or already enrolled in a teaching program or an education program.
Please do apply.
Yeah, I mean, this just seems like, you know, because you're basically saying that if it's not competitive.
Well, it's competitive in the sense that you have to meet the
But if you meet the eligibility, you're...
That's right. You have to meet the eligibility requirements, but and it is ultimately competitive in the sense that if we could run out of funds, but at this point there are still funds for 2017-18. So we'd love to give those funds to students who are eligible and can use them to get their degrees.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Lynn. I think I've got what I need for a spot and a short web story, and I'll keep you posted if you want to share it out on your channels.
That'd be terrific.
And
I'm happy to help you with anything else. I know Dusty calls me often, and I call her often and say, you know, here's what we got. And, you know, so I'm happy to share with you anything that's going on. I think we're...
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested in so something that we've been talking about at our station is we've been talking about potentially doing a podcast around kind of taking a look back at like the budget impasse and its effects, but not only its effects, but sort of like the conditions that helped create it, and explaining, you know, what unfunded pension liabilities are and why that's an issue, and, you know, right to work versus labor unions, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But also looking at, you know, the people that this impacted through, I think specifically an education and a health lens. And yeah. So I think that issue that you brought up about outward migration of students because they just feel like they can't rely on the state of Illinois to provide scholarships that they need is really, really critical and is still like kind of hanging over the state today, regardless of whether or not we have funding for it. Yeah. So that's
interesting. I think that's true. And I think, you know, do we have the absolute data that says, you know, this many students left the state because they were scared that they weren't going to have MAP funding? No. And one of the things that we know is, and I should sort of probably correct what I said about that, actually, because realistically, students who are receiving MAP are not necessarily the students who will go out of state, but they are the students who will not go to school if they don't get it.
Which is even worse to me.
Worse, right? So, yeah. So probably that's not the best quote about out-migration.
Oh, I wouldn't quote you on the record for that. But I think
that that is, an issue. So listen, let's face it, right? The students who, you know, live on the North Shore, you know, can go out of state whenever they want to go out of state. And they're not getting MAP, you know. The students who are in, you know, live in the burbs, in the North Shore suburbs where I live, are not primarily MAP students.
Right.
You know? But those students who were relying on those funds to go to school don't have, you know, those students don't necessarily have the option or the funds to get out of state. You know, they may be independent students that, you know, have families to support and they're working here. Or they may be still living at home with their parents and they could afford to go to school still living at home, you know. So those are the kids who are just going to stop going to school.
Yeah.
You know, or the adults that are just going to stop going to school. And so that's what's scary. And I say this all the time as like a PR person, you know, and we all know this, right? You know, it takes years and years to build a reputation and it takes 5 minutes for it to be destroyed. Mm. And I think that is also true of our scholarship programs and of the credibility of the state, right? You know, for years, I mean, for almost 50 years, kids have relied on this MAP grant. And to go to school and then realize that it's not there and then be, you know, concerned that you're going to have to pay back your university for that. I mean, these are kids, and, you know, I had this conversation with Dusty all the time, right? You know, I mean, it turns financial aid on its head, right? So now you have the kids that can't afford anything fronting the money for the state. I mean, they don't have that money.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this. So, you know, I think it really impacted people's views of, like, you know, am I going to be able to go to school and am I going to get into a program where, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay for it and then I'm going to have to drop out. And then the worst thing is you have students dropping out and they don't have a degree and they've got debt.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to take a while now, I think, for folks to start to have that confidence again that those dollars are there and those dollars will be there for them. You know.
Yeah. And I think that there is definitely a fear because I have done some reporting around the healthcare side of this. And I think there's definitely a fear on the part of certain social service agency executive directors that I've talked to that, you know, if this happened once, who's to say that it can't happen again?
Right. I mean, and nobody, you know, and people are thinking, well, it's an election year. It won't happen because, you know, somebody's got to get reelected. But, I mean, this is such a crazy election right now that we don't know that it won't happen, right?
Yeah.
We don't,
I mean, politics, I stopped, I stopped feeling as though I could make good predictions
right.
sometime around November 2016. So.
Right. Because we wouldn't have thought that that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that so many people would be on the hook and left, you know. And quite frankly, you know, there's a lot of debate about what universities and what funding they should get or shouldn't get. But, you know, a lot of those universities covered these kids for MAP and did their best and actually, you know, laid off people so that they could cover these kids for MAP.
Yeah.
So there is a huge increase in the budget request, in the IBHE budget request for MAP, which is good. I don't know what we'll get, but there's a huge increase for it.
So, yeah.
And maybe that will be encouraging to students. But, you know, there's certainly other issues without migration, and not the least of those is, you know, this feeling of, like, our other universities and whether or not they're going to be viable as a result of all of this budget stuff, like Western and Eastern and all those other universities that really struggled financially during the delay.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of stories there. We'll see. I would like that. I would like something like that to come to fruition under the newsroom banner, but we'll see. Thank you so much, Lynn. And yeah, keep me on your list of journalism contacts.
Absolutely.
Dusty and I are coordinating coverage. So
terrific.
I think this is a good example of us kind of working together to make sure that everything that needs to be covered gets covered.
Great.
So I'm happy to meet you, and it's great. I hope that it's not too bad and that you get to your play tonight without incident.
I will somehow make it if I have to, like, call an Uber. I guess I'll make it. It would be really bad if I didn't show up, so I'll figure it out.
All right. Take care.
It's a pleasure. Great talking to you.
Yeah, great talking to you, too. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.